Hello everyone, and welcome to this session on youth, homelessness, housing first model, and eco-social approach to social work. I'm Mattia Mansueto, doctoral researcher at KU Leuven, Belgium, and part of the AstraMedicuri program. Here you can also find my email and my LinkedIn account. I hope this lecture will be useful for your academic and professional career. About myself, I have a bachelor at University of Torino in social work and also a master at the University of Bolzano in social work and research for social work. I've been studying abroad in different European universities, and also I've done some internship in others European countries. My background as a social worker practitioner is in clinical social work and MBA therapist, and also educational social work with a focus on children with special needs in NGOs and as well as schools and hospitals in Italy. Then I've been starting the Marie Curie programs fellowship in the Astra project with a focus on youth homelessness and housing, which we will see in a bit. My PhD, as said, is based on sustainable housing solution in youth homelessness. In the slide, we can also see on our right an image of a house made by different wards that I came across during my work and also inspired this lecture. We see housing, home, poverty, housing first, comparison, housing policy, and youth homelessness. The structure of this course will touch different topic, and particularly an introduction to social work at the beginning and housing, the connection. Then we will dive in the youth homelessness with challenges and perspectives. And then three, the housing innovation and models. Four is about eco-social approach in practice and the connection with housing and social work. And finally, there is an activities, which is based on the photo voice approach that will connect all the topics mentioned before. Continuing, we will the objective of these lessons lesson are to understand the principle of housing first and eco-social approach, emphasizing the systemic and ecological solution for social issues like youth homelessness. Then explore the collaboration between fields in addressing social problems, particularly in housing and social work, and develop an integrated solution for at-risk youth using sustainability, social equity, and resilience as a guiding principle. So here we see the historical context of social work and housing. The evolution of social work profession and housing policies through the social political shift has been a topic that I've been researching during my work. And here we see five different key changes or in timing that can be linked and to the way we can understand social work and housing. So the Industrial Revolution, for instance, is important key because the urbanization led to overcrowded housing, highlighting the need for reform. And we also see in the late 90s and early 20th century an effort to improve the condition for workers and low-income groups has also impacted the housing domain and the social work profession. In The welfare state and public housing key change represent in the early 20th centuries an effort to provide governmental support, housing, and general welfare, where public housing initiatives were a significant step toward providing stable living conditions for lower income population, while welfare states aim to offer broader social support. However, we find some critics to the public housing starting from the late 70s, 1970s, regarding the affordability and maintaining this building for the state, and also the creation of gentrification. So these critics led us also to the neoliberal policy shift, which is characterized by this deinstitutionalization and community-based solutions. Neoliberal policies emerging from the 80s onwards emphasized reducing government intervention in social services, favoring market-driven solutions. We see this deinstitutionalization refer to the move away from large institutional care settings for vulnerable population, such as a mental health facilities, towards integrating individuals into community-based care. And important also to mention the meaning of community-based solution that's aimed to provide localized support services, empowering communities rather than rely solely on central institution. We see influential figures as Jane Addams, Octavia Eales, Dr. Gore, and Ellen Cutsuayo and Paulo Freire, which are the somehow had a huge impact to understand the connection to social work in social work, and also understanding the connecting between social work profession and housing. We see, for instance, many example as the Whole House in the U.S. And also the work of Octavia Yale. Which was one of the earliest example of seeing housing and as a key component of social welfare. We also see Dr. Gore, that played a crucial role in shaping India's approach to social work and focusing on issues such as poverty alleviation and community development, and it tried to improve the housing condition for urban poor. We also see Ellen Cutsuayo from South Africa, an activist anti-apartheid, which fought for the rights of people, most vulnerable community and marginalized community in South Africa, and also in South America. Important figure is Paulo Freire, basing his work on empowerment and participatory housing approach. There are also some contemporary influences like some NGOs and also federation like FEANSA, which is promoting sustainable housing, and also political shift to for homeless people. These figure influential figures can had a really huge impact and can be developed more, of course, but here is just to mention them. And getting forward, the key concept of this lecture are the ecosocial approach. And thinking of the ecosocial approach, like understanding how both environmental and society impact people's well-being, it helps us to see how issues like pollution or lack of green space directly linked to social inequalities, such as who has safe housing or who is most at risk during the environmental crisis. This perspective shows that to solve social impact and social problems like homelessness, we must also consider ecological factors like access to clean air, green spaces, and stable climates. Key concepts that I mentioned in this slide are social justice in housing means ensuring everyone has the equal access to safe and secure housing, regardless of income, human characteristic, or background. For instance, consider how some groups face more barriers than others. This barrier might be due to low income, racial discrimination, or even historical inequalities. By understanding these factors, we can find ways to remove those barriers and create fair opportunities for everyone to find stable housing. Second point is on ecological resilience, which is about how communities can adapt and recover when facing challenges like environmental disaster or social crisis. Imagine a community dealing with frequent flooding. If they work together to develop solutions such as better drainage or disaster planning, they are building resilience. And in housing, we apply this idea to help vulnerable community remain stable despite challenges like climate change or economic hardship. And we see this disaster, this event happening more and impacting more the population, although we are aware of some solution in advance. However, the last point and the last key concept is systemic change. And by that, we mean that instead of helping individuals one by one, we look at the big systems like government policies and laws that causes housing problems in the first place. For example, if there is a lack of affordable housing, system change might mean advocating for laws that support the construction of more affordable homes or tackling the discrimination in renting. The goal is to change the system so that everyone has a fair chance. This slide is thought to be a space for interacting direction within the class during the course, for instance, or a personal reflection about the theories mentioned before. Now, I would like to dive in more on the youth homelessness topic, focusing on challenges and perspective. This section examining the critical issues of youth homelessness, exploring first the roots and causes, risk factors, and the impact on individuals and communities. We see roots causes, we mean underlying factors that make homelessness more likely. Understanding both roots causes and pathway help us to develop targeted intervention. And we addressing those root causes, we can prevent some of the pathway into homelessness for developing in the first place. As mentioned, some of the root causes are family conflicts or abuse, poverty and economic hardship, and systematic inequalities. We see, for instance, in the UK, 49% of young homeless people reported family relationship breakdown as the main cause of their condition situation. 35% reported unemployment and financial difficulties as a key factor for leading to their situation. And some groups like LGBTQ plus youth and ethnic minority face higher risk compared to their peer. In the European study, in a European study, was found to be 120% more. Going to the pathway, mentioning also the important work of Fitzpatrick, we see some pathway are the specific events or condition that turn to risk into reality. Turn that risk into the reality. By identify pathway, for instance, providing better support for youth exiting foster care, we can intervene more directly to prevent young people from falling through the crack. Some statistic important to mention, to be mentioned. In Ireland, the 25% of young people living care experienced homelessness within 2 years. And also the related to housing affordability, the lack of housing, affordable house exacerbate youth homelessness. And in Germany, 30% of homeless youth cited the inability to afford housing as a primary factor. There are some research on European level within European countries, EU countries, and important to mention the work done by FEANSA. There are some difficulties in research connected to the definition of youth and the definition of homelessness, and also, of course, then defining who is young homeless within each country, and to make then a comparison in practice. There are differences in youth homelessness prevalence are linked to the national policies. And we see a robust welfare system versus like in Finland and Denmark show a lower rate compared to other European nations and countries. Youth homelessness has a huge impact on mental health and education, creating high rates of anxiety, depression, and then also connect to substance abuse or use. There is unstable housing disrupt school attendance and performance of those people. And there are some intervention strategies to prevent homelessness and youth homelessness, connect to schools and family reunification. And also, we will see more in details later on, but housing-led and projects, which are basing their program on housing. And one of them is the Housing First model, apply also to young population, which provide immediate housing with without precondition and a stable accommodation. As mentioned, we will focus on traditional and innovative models for a young population. So the traditional model is on the left, also called a staircase model, while on the right we see the housing first model. And the first difference we can see is that the person in homeless condition receive without any precondition immediate accommodation. And that is also because housing is thought as a basic need instead of the last goal of the path of recovery. jump into housing first for youth and having a focus on youth homelessness. We see that the housing first model has been adapted to the youth population, and here we see the core principle that has been adapted as well to young needs. With a right to housing without precondition, is also support sent oriented by youth and centered on youth needs. A positive youth development is means to emphasize the building strengths and life skills and promoting a successful transition to adulthood. And the model is and the program are driven and also develop individualized. And the community play and the social aspect played a big role into the daily work of practitioner and social workers, recognizing the importance of relationships and community for youth. Here there is a comparison between countries on policy and policy in different national on national level. We put Finland, Denmark, Spain, and Netherlands and United Kingdom as some of the countries that I have investigated during my PhD and on Housing First for Youth. And we see the successful reduce of youth homelessness in Finland, for instance, where the policy, the Housing First model is on national level and policy. And while in other countries, the moderate impact of policy still facing challenges has not reduce it. This slide is also meant to reflect on a different countries of background, also welfare background, cultural background, and the way of policy are developed, and if they reach national level, or like in other in some context, they are mainly on local level. Now I would like to focus on the eco-social approach in practice and connected it to the housing and social work. The definition, so on the definitional level, the eco-social approach emphasizes understanding social problem in the context of ecological system and societal structure. It calls for solutions that are systemic, sustainable, and equitable. Some of the key principles are addressing social problems like homelessness, for instance. It's not just about individuals. Okay. Sorry. So addressing social problems and it's not just about individual intervention, but requires addressing the structural causes. For instance, housing policy, environmental factors, and systemic inequalities. So studies have shown that climate change exacerbates vulnerabilities among marginalized populations, leading to increased housing instability and homelessness. Extreme weather events and resources shortage disproportionately impact those with limited resources, highlighting the needs for equitable climate resilience strategies. Integrating sustainability and equity in housing policies is crucial for creating a secure living condition. This involves developing affordable housing that is resilient to climate impact, ensuring that vulnerable populations are protected from environmental hazard and have access to stable housing. Providing individualized support, including mental health services and skills training, address personal factors contributing to homelessness. Tailored intervention can enhance coping mechanisms and facilitate reintegration into society. An effective collaboration among various services providers ensures comprehensive support for individuals experiencing homelessness. Integrated care models can bridge service gaps, leading to better health and housing outcomes. Addressing homelessness requires a systemic policy change that provides economic stability and access to essential services. Implementing affordable housing initiative, universal healthcare, and robust social safety nets can reduce the risk of homelessness. And we see exactly on intervention, multi-level intervention, on those three systems just mentioned before. The collaboration across field, also before mentioned, but just to highlight the work of social workers providing holistic support for individuals and also family, and connected to policymakers and community organizers, but also in housing innovators, in order to create affordable, sustainable housing solutions. We see also some the fact of developing integrated solution for at-risk youth. On the sustainability aspect, we have to focus on long-term well-being and training youth population on their skills and with education, a strong education system. And in order to highlight the social inclusions aspect, to encourage people to connect with the community in a different level. So what is need? Safe housing with sustainable, environmental friendly educational training, and to develop practical job training programs linked to the employability of employment opportunities. But also to let young people dream on a different career, on a different life, and follow their dreams and their skills. Yeah, we mentioned before the conclusions. So the effective intervention require a collaboration across the field with immediate needs, but also long-term resilience. Working together in order to create an environment where the individuals are not only survive but thrive. And here last the PhotoVoice activity. So the activity is structured to with an introduction with of the concept of PhotoVoice methodology and connection with homelessness and eco-social work. Then I recommend and suggest to have a discussion on ethics and representing vulnerable population, including how to ensure dignity and privacy for individuals, and then break the students into small groups, like 4, 6 students. That is meant for teacher lecturer that are providing this course, this lecture, as a learning lecture for students. So I will not dive in too much into the methodology of PhotoVoice and or the background, theoretical background behind this, but it's a structure. So I would like to tend to this is the way I thought this activity. So each student take 5 to 8 photos in their community, and then reflect on their group's themes. They should keep notes. So the students should keep notes on each photo, what they were trying to capture, why they choose to the location or subject, and what emotion or reflection the image evokes. Each student then select 2 or 3 pictures, photos that best capture the theme, and prepares a brief narrative to accompany each image. So they should be divided by themes that can be different and thought by the lecturer, and each theme, also each group. And then we'll explain. And it's important that the activity can have 2 options regarding the collection of images. The collection can be take place in 2 different days or between 1 lessons. That's depend on the course, the structure of the course. Then generally the students and the small groups can discuss these pictures and explain to the rest of the group, and in order to have a comparison and also a reflection together. It's important to remind the students always the ethical check-in, let's say, and avoid to taking picture of individual directly and without the permission. I also propose some topics where the activity and the groups work can be divided, and or how we can analyze then the picture taken and the discussion during the course. It's important on a post-activity reflection and evaluation. So each student can submit a 2 or 3 pages of reflection from taken from these activities, and giving a feedback. So this is the end of my course, and I really like to thank you all. And here is my is a QR code to stay in contact on LinkedIn or on email. And thanks again, you all. I hope this was interesting and useful and clear enough for you all to understand a little bit of the topics that we touched, and also to try to do the PhotoVoice activity. Thank you very much.